name, we do pray. Amen. Now, the last time that we looked in chapter 4, we looked at the first 5 verses of this chapter. And what we looked at there in the first part of chapter 4, really, what I considered it was traits that are needful if one is to be a pastor or a teacher, a missionary, or whatever it might be of the Word of God. Paul had several little words in there, little traits of things that you should look for when you're going to call a man of God. Traits like speaking in boldness, traits like speaking in truth, traits like speaking about Jesus Christ and not oneself. There were several different things that we talked about. But tonight, as we look into the rest of this chapter, again, the focus is going to change a little bit. And I told you as we began our study in 2 Corinthians, again, not like our study in 1 Corinthians at all, where much of it was doctrine and trying to get things straight there in Corinth. But in the 2 Corinthians, we see an underlying tone of comfort, really, that kind of runs and streams in patterns throughout this book. And tonight, we're going to see that comfort. So if you need comforting tonight, this should be a blessing to you because we're going to find that in the Scripture. So let's look in verse number 6 in chapter number 4 of 2 Corinthians. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to notice really there in the first part of that verse where it says that God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. What is Paul speaking of there? Well, he is speaking about creation, right? I want you to understand this. Paul was a creationist. He was a creationist. He believed in Genesis chapter 1. This past Wednesday night in our Bible study, we talked a little bit about creation and how God created. But you think, now, Paul was a very learned man. Paul spent a lot of time in Gentile places where they had different thoughts about how the world began. But Paul firmly trusted in Genesis chapter 1. That's what he stood his faith upon. And you know what? I do too. I do too. Now, secondly here, Paul speaks about how God called us out of our own darkness into light. Folks, our hearts were as dark could be until God effectually revealed that light of Himself to our hearts. And folks, we did not open up our hearts willingly to Him any more than the universe was created without His power behind it. We are only willing to receive the light because He makes us willing in that day. As the psalmist declared, we are made willing in the day of His power. But by that power, we have come to know the glory of Christ. And as we spoke of a few weeks ago, that glory that we find in Christ is much greater than the glory that ever existed in the law. Now, remember as we talked about the law and how gloriful that was, but yet the glory of Christ is indeed greater than any other thing that we could ever give glory to in this life. And certainly it is more, of more glory than we could ever put upon ourselves. You know, so often, folks, we want to put ourselves pretty high up on the totem pole, for a lack of better phrase. We like to glory in our own educations. We like to glory in our own portfolios, in our jobs, and all that we have, and all that, sometimes even what we've done in the name of the Lord, right? But listen, compared to Christ, we're worthy of no glory at all. We're worthy of no glory at all. Paul was a man who was accomplished in many things for the Lord. We look at all the things that Paul did, absolutely amazing. The miracles that were performed, you know, people came around, right, just to get those little pieces of cloth, and they were taken away, and people were healed. Paul did some pretty amazing things in the work of the Lord, but did he glory in those things for himself? Did he heap that glory upon himself? No.
No, he did not. Look here, folks, in verse number 7. Very interesting. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, an earthen vessel here is a piece of pottery. And in particular here, the type of earthen vessel that Paul has in mind here is the kind of earthen vessels that were used to put garbage in, or what we would think of as a chamber pot. That's the kind of earthen vessels that he's speaking of here. Basically, he is comparing himself to a garbage can or to a chamber pot. And those aren't very glorious things, are they? They make some nice trash cans, folks, but they're not glorious. It's not a glorious position. Now, Paul didn't find himself glorious either. But he found it glorious, folks, that God Himself might reside Himself in him. And folks, that's what He does when we're saved. He resides within us. His glory is inside of us. And you know what, folks? That's pretty wonderful. That's a pretty wonderful thing. You know what? When God called us, He wasn't looking for the most glorious of men to set up shop in. He wasn't looking for the most handsome and the most beautiful, the most educated, the richest. Listen, He chose us as we are. Dead, sinful creatures, worthy of nothing. We were nothing more than trash cans, worthy of the refuse of this world, when the glory of Christ began to reside within us. And listen, folks, I'm still just an earthen vessel. I may be a vessel of honor, but I'm still just an earthen vessel. And folks, as long as I'm in the flesh, I'm going to remain that way. But you know what? One of these days, I'm going to drop this old flesh. And I'm going to become glorious as He is glorious, because we shall be as He is. Amen. Now, Paul is going to speak here about some of his weaknesses that he's experienced in this old body made of clay, this old earthen vessel. But even in these weaknesses, all of these things that are coming against him, he's going to find comfort in the Lord. And we're going to take this phrase by phrase. Look in verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are troubled on every side, but not distressed. You know, Paul at many times, we know, was troubled on every side. You know, the Jews, as he went out from city to city, as he'd go forth and he'd preach to the Jews were mad at him because he preached Christ. He'd go out and he'd preach to the Gentiles, and they were mad at him because they were preaching some strange god and how they shouldn't use idols, and that would make the people that made the idols mad. He even had supposed Christians that were ready to, you know, to slit his throat, basically, because they didn't believe in his authority. They were false prophets, right? Everywhere Paul went, somebody was upset. He was troubled on every side. You know what? I imagine that there have been times in your life, too, when you've been troubled on every side. If you've been alive long enough, you've been troubled on every side. Days when seemingly there is seemingly nothing but bad that goes on. You fight with your kids on the way to school. Your boss is on your back when you get to work. Your account is almost overdrawn and you get a flat tire on the way home. You know, those kinds of days, right? It seems like when it rains, it pours. Those are the days when it seems like we're troubled on every side. And we all have them. Matter of fact, you might not just be having one of those days, you might be having one of those years. Right? Sometimes we do. Paul says, despite all the trouble that's around me, I'm not distressed. That's not normal, is it? That's not normal. You see, you can take a little bit of trouble sometimes, but trouble all around you, all the time, causes great distress. It causes anxiety. It can cause depression. So how is Paul able to handle this distress? It's because he knows that God is still on his throne. and God's in control. God is in control. He knows that God is working out all things for the good of those that love Him. He knows that He's worshiping a God of all comfort, right? He told us that in the first chapter. He is the God of all comfort, and He will give comfort to every need that is cast upon Him, folks. That's a promise of God. That's a promise of Christ to lay our burdens upon Him. Paul understood that promise, and it's still a promise today. Let's read on in verse 8. It says, "We are perplexed, but not in despair." What is it to be perplexed? When you're perplexed, you're confused. You don't know what to do. You don't necessarily have the right answer. You know, you may be perplexed over what tomorrow may bring. You know, you may not know where you're going to sleep tomorrow, or what you're going to eat, or how you're ever going to survive. I think we've all been perplexed at times in our life, maybe not to that extent, to where we're wondering where our next meal is going to come from. But you know what? All of us will face decisions in life and not know how to choose. And sometimes the choices in our life are like getting a sharp stick in the eye or a lit cigar up your nose. You're not going to win either way, right? It's not good, whatever happens. It's a lose-lose situation. Paul says he's often perplexed, but never does he fall into despair. Again, why? God is in control. He knows everything we're going to need for tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. And listen, God has already provided a storehouse of blessings for those days when those days come. He's not going to give us today what we need 3 days from now. He's going to give us what we need 3 days from now, 3 days from now. God already knows. Paul well understood that, you know what, he may not have the right answer right now. But as long as he was willing to submit himself to God and to seek His will, that the unseen hand of God was going to direct him in whichever way that he needed to go. And friends, tonight, if you are trusting in God and you are seeking His will right now, the unseen hand of God is working in your life just as a conductor in an orchestra, bringing everything together for that right moment. Those days of being perplexed are going to come, but don't despair. God is on your side. Let's read on in verse number 9. It says, "Persecuted but not forsaken." Boy, Paul knew what it was like to be persecuted. The apostles, all of them knew what it was like to be persecuted. Thousands and thousands of Christians in the Dark Ages knew what it was like to be persecuted. Right now, Christians in the Mideast and throughout the world knows what it's like to be persecuted when they go out on the streets and they make a stand for Christ. They understand the risk that is there to even dare speak out the Word of God, to be seen carrying a Bible down the street. Paul said, "Persecuted but not forsaken." Even when one is there seemingly alone, and no one there is to stand with you, and persecution comes, never fear. The Lord has not forsaken you. In fact, in His Word, He says that He will never leave us nor forsake us. Folks, that ought to excite you tonight. It ought to excite you tonight. It ought to make you shout for joy, knowing that God will never forsake His people. That He'll always be there in the midst of persecution. And on down to verse number 9, it says, "Cast down but not destroyed." Cast down but not destroyed. You know, I know that there was at least one time that Paul was stoned and left for dead. That's what you call being cast down, right? That's being cast down.
You know, none of us here have been persecuted like that, probably. I don't think anybody's been cast down quite like that. But Paul knew what it was like. He knew what it was like to be cast down to the point of death. But yet, he would not be destroyed. Why is that? Why was he not destroyed? Because he knew to be absent from this body is to be what? Present with the Lord, right? You may destroy this old flesh, but folks, you're not going to be able to destroy my soul. God has it. Let's read on, verse number 10. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Always. Verse starts off with always. Always means that these kinds of things that Paul was stating here were going on in his life all the time. Seemingly these things were never ceasing. I don't know that there was a time that Paul ever had truly complete ease from all the problems from without and within. You think many of the letters that he wrote, he was in jail, wondering if he was going to get out. Being in jail might have been some of the safest places he was at sometimes. I don't know with some of the things he went through. But listen, despite all of those things, he carried the gospel of Christ wherever he went because he knew that when people looked at him and all that he was able to bear, they would know that it was only by the grace of God and the power of Christ working through him because no man could do it on his own. No man could do it. It has to be because something is greater within you than is within this world, right? Again, let's read verses 11 and 12. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Listen to what Paul is saying here, folks. He's saying that he is ready to face problems every day so that Christ might be glorified and so that others might hear the gospel. He is saying that he is pouring out his life daily so that others might find life in Christ. Now, I want to ask you something, and I'm talking to myself here as much as I am any of you. How much does the gospel message really mean to you? Is it pertinent enough in your life that you would die to tell someone else the gospel? Because that's what Paul was doing daily. He was risking his life daily, ready every day to die so that some might find Christ. And you know what I think of ourselves in this world? And we've become so complacent as Christians, folks. So complacent of Christians that you know what? If somebody was on the other side of the street, we would dare walk to the other side of the street and tell them about Christ, let alone die to tell someone about it. That's how complacent we've become. And folks, that's me. I'm just being honest. I'm not where I need to be. I hope that someday that I'm to that point where we're so on fire for telling someone about Christ that people would begin to hate me like they hate Paul. Because that's what it would be if we were out there diligently telling people about Christ every day. When listen, when they saw you coming in Walmart, they would try to go the other way. Because they knew there's that guy that's going to talk to me about Christ again. That's what it would be like. People avoid me enough at Walmart now already. Just, you know, that's another story. Listen, when we compare Paul's desire to spread the gospel compared to our own, we're going to come up short every time, I believe. But it shouldn't be that way. Paul was just a man. Did you ever think about that? Paul was just a man. He was a man of flesh, like you and me. You know, he wasn't a robot, and he didn't go around with the S on his chest, right? He's no Superman. He was a man of like flesh, but he was a man who turned over
his complete self to God, saying, use me, Lord, whatever it takes today. Whatever you got in store for me today, Lord, that's what I'm going to do. Let's read on. Verse 13. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Verse 13 is actually quoting from Psalms 116 and verse 10. If you go over there and read Psalms 116, you'll find that the psalmist there is speaking about the relief that he has from God even in the midst of troubles. The psalmist says, God hears our prayers. That should be a comfort to everyone here tonight. We mentioned that this morning. Listen, God hears our prayers. No matter when we utter them, whether it's in the morning, whether it's in the night, whether we're in our car and we're praying for strength to get through the day, or whether it's in the darkest hours of the night and we're pouring out our heart before God, asking for forgiveness, asking for guidance, asking Him for help with our anxieties or whatever it might be, God is always there and God is always listening. And not only is He listening to our prayers, folks, but He's answering our prayers as well. He's answering our prayers as well. God desires the best for His children. Now, we understand that many times in life, you know, what we think is best is not what's best, right? We think that it's best when the pathway is clear and the flowers are rosy and everything is nice and there's no troubles and trials that come. And you know what? Some even preach that message right there, me, who preach that message that, you know, as long as you look to God and as long as you believe in Him and give your money and all this stuff that goes along with it, right, there'll be no trouble or trial or no illness. I heard one say one time, he said, Job wasn't inspired when he said that naked have I come and, you know, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Folks, Job was inspired when he said that. Those times may come. Listen, when we pass through these hours of trouble and trial, God is using it. You know what? It may seem hard at the time, and it may seem very hurtful to go through some of the things that we face. But again, God is working it out for our good. He's working it out for our strengthening, for our benefit, and also for the benefits of those who are around us when we are in the midst of those troubled waters. You know, folks, I think we've all seen that some of the greatest testimonies that we've ever seen from Christ are when people are at their weakest, when one is there dying of cancer, and yet they have comfort. And they speak of the glory of Christ and how they're looking for heaven. It's a testimony to everyone around, the doctors, the people in the waiting room, their family, that their hope is greater. Or you think about some, you know, who go through those greatest trials in life. Think about the martyrs of days past, right? When the persecution was so hard upon them that they were being sent to the stakes to be burned, but yet they glorified Christ, and you know, records say that's how some just jumped into the fires. When we are weak, He is strong, folks. When we are weak, He is strong. Look in verse 14. Knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Folks, I love this verse. You see, we know that our hope is not in this world. Again, we talked about that this morning, right? Our citizenship is someplace better than the most glorious kingdom upon this whole earth, right? We know that right now we are to be looking for our Lord to come in the air, to raise us up, take Him with us. And we ought to be looking for that every day. But this verse isn't just looking at that. You see, this verse is, that's the ultimate fulfillment of this verse. But this verse is telling us that when trouble and trials come and whenever they surround us, whenever we are drowning in the billows of life's troubled seas, just when Peter was there walking upon the water, folks,
And his faith began to waver, and he began to sink, and he cried out to Jesus, "Lord, save me." And Jesus reached out his hand and lifted Peter back up and into the boat. Folks, just like that, when we are sinking, look to God. Because the same God that took Jesus and brought him out of the tomb is the same God that is able to lift us up out of every situation. Out of every situation, every turmoil, every distress. And again, folks, that ought to be something tonight that you say, "Hallelujah to the King of Kings!" Because He is with us. And He will lift us up no matter what the situation is. No situation is too big for God. There is no problem that He can't handle. There is no heartache that He cannot comfort. Because my God is an awesome God. Verse 15. "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God." Again, all the things that we go through are for our good and for the good of those that might see the witness of the gospel during our times of trial and distress. Verses 16 and 17 goes on to read, "For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction," Paul called it his light affliction, right? "Which is but for a moment, worketh for us far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory." So Paul says here that though he is dying daily physically with the light afflictions that he's going through, and how can he say it's light, folks? You know, right, what Paul went through? How does he say it's light? Well, it's light compared to the glory that we're going to have for eternity with Jesus Christ. You see, anything when we compare it to that, anything else is small. Anything else is little. Everything else is light. Every day that we suffer physically, putting our faith in God, we will grow spiritually. You know what else? The more you grow spiritually, the more you look forward to that eternity with God as well. You'll have had enough of this old world. You'll be looking for something better. I hope you are tonight. Let's look at the last verse of this chapter. Actually, we'll be continuing in a lot of these thoughts in chapter 5. The first part of that chapter, anyway. But look in verse 18. It says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Brothers and sisters, what do you have your eyes on tonight? What do you have your eyes on? Do you look with great desire on the things of this world? Are you looking for the next big thing, the next trinket? Or are you looking for Christ? Is your heart set upon that which is heavenly? Are you focused upon the prize? Are you building up treasures in heaven instead of treasures upon this earth? Are you serving Him today? You know what, brothers and sisters, I know in life that things get hard. Life is hard. It's not easy. There's a lot of valleys. And sometimes it seems like there's just not enough mountaintops. But you know what? This life is fleeting fast. It's here today and gone tomorrow. And if you're saved here tonight, your hope is not here. It's not in this country. Your hope is in eternity. Your hope is in one who will raise you up in this life and who will keep you in the life to come. We're going to end there tonight. Brother Randy, if you'll come and lead us in song. Sister